man, listen, before you are seated, greet like 2 to 3 people around you. Tell them that you're excited that they're here today. If you don't know them, figure their name out. We'll go from there. Listen, well, good morning. Welcome to Foundation Church. Listen, my name is Isaiah Jones, for those who don't know me. I am originally from Louisville, Kentucky. I've been a student here at KCU now for like way too long. Praise God, I graduate next week. So I'll be done next week. Yeah. Listen, I'm just excited to be here. I'm always grateful for the opportunity just to speak to you guys and just really dive into God's word with you. I'm grateful for Pastor Aaron and Emily and what they do for us. Every Monday, they allow a bunch of us college students to come over and eat like we never have eaten before. So we're always grateful for that. Super, you know, grateful for them and everything that they do. But listen, without a shadow of a doubt, I want to dive right in today. So we have been in the book of Matthew, and that's where we will continue to be today. We have been going over the teachings of Jesus in Matthew. We read over the Beatitudes a couple months ago, and now we are headfirst into the Sermon on the Mount. So we are going to be in chapter 6 today. So if you have your Bibles, turn to chapter 6 of Matthew, verse 25 is where we will begin. And before I even start to read our verses for today, we need to develop a framework of everything that is taking place in this chapter to really see what Jesus is trying to hammer on here in these verses. So when we first look at chapter 6, the first thing that we see is Jesus teaches on gratitude. He teaches on generosity. He teaches on giving and what that looks like in our lives, that we are to be generous givers and not be people who hoard the material things that we have been blessed with in our life. He says that when we give not to seek anything in return. So it's with the mindset that we give, not expecting anything back, but we give because that's what we do as people and as followers of Christ. Then he kind of moves on and talks about prayer. He says, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. See, because back then in the time, we would have the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the religious leaders. They would pray, but when they would pray, they would make sure it was loud. They would be out in the streets. They would make sure people heard them and all their exquisite words and their big vocabulary phrases and everything else, because they wanted people to know that they were elite. That's why they prayed. So Jesus says, do not be like them. But when you pray, pray with a heart posture that is intentional in seeking God. That when you pray, you're not doing it for the attention of others, but you are doing it because it is the relationship with God that we are building with. So he talks about prayer. Then he goes, okay, pray like this. He gives us a model prayer. And we see that. He says, hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come. He talks about, he says, God, you are the greatest one. You are the one, you are the true, you are the one that is holy and set apart, and we see you as that. And we pray that your kingdom be done here on earth as it is in heaven. It's a prayer that Jesus is wanting us to see that we need God here on earth. Now, we cannot live without that. He even goes into forgiveness and that we should forgive not just and ask for forgiveness, not just of our own sins, but that we should forgive the sins of others. It's a prayer that also seeks to flee from the evil one, that when temptation and trials come in our lives, that we seek God and that we flee from that and we rest in the assurance that he will provide for us in that. At the end, he gives all praise and all glory and honor to God. And then this is where we have been in the past couple weeks. We've been talking about what it looks like for our treasures not to rule us, right? They are not to be the place, they are not to take the place where God should be in our lives. We are called to lay up treasures, not here, but treasures that will be continuously forever in heaven. He says, the treasures that you get here and the treasures that you work for and earn for here will rot and be destroyed and be taken away. But the heavenly treasures, the ones that cannot be destroyed, nor can be cast away, those are the ones that we should be seeking to build. Then he kind of gives us two examples. The first is, he says, you have a good eye and a bad eye. Says you will either see light or you will see darkness when it comes to the material things in your life. He says, if you have an eye that is good, that is full of light, you will be a person who is generous, a person who gives, a person who sees their possessions and sees them not as their own, but sees them as something that they have been blessed with from God, and they're generous with that. Amen. If you have a bad eye, though, you'll be a person who sees your possessions and holds on to them, that you cannot go without them, that greed and envy begin to develop in your life, which produces a bad eye. Then he gives us another example. He says, you cannot serve God and money. That you cannot serve God and money. You cannot have two masters. You will either serve one or the other. You will either love God or your treasures. But no matter what the case is, he says, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Meaning that the material things that we have in our life do hold a spot in our hearts. The problem is just how much do they hold? That's the problem that Jesus wants us to see. It's that, not that they are bad, but that we make them God in our lives, little g. And after all that, this is where we pick off in verse 25. And Jesus is sitting on the mountain, and he looks at all the people he's talking to, and he looks at his disciples, and he says this, verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more of much value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his lifespan? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you? O you of little faith. O you of little faith. See, a couple weeks ago, Pastor Aaron kind of talked about, why are we anxious people? And we found that we are anxious people because of what we fix our focus on a lot of times in our lives. That we develop tunnel vision in our lives, and because of that, we cannot and do not see God in that. And today, I want to build on that and grow on that. But today, I want to challenge you that, yes, while your focus is fixed, you also need to change your perspective. That today, I hope and I pray that we would see our worries and anxieties with a new perspective. Jesus starts in verse 25 and says the word therefore, meaning that therefore, we have to turn back and see what was just said. And like we talked about, we see that he's talking about our money, our possessions, our earthly treasures that we have stored up and have. And he says, therefore, because you have these things, do not be anxious. Do not be anxious. Or some other translations, it will say, do not worry. See, there are two people in this room. One person will say, I'm anxious sometimes. You know, I worry about certain things, but I wouldn't say it's something that I struggle with daily. And then there's people in the room that can say that, man, I wish I could go one day without being anxious. Like, that's something that I would just love to have in my life. But no matter which side you are on, at the end of the day, everybody can attest that there are times in your life when you are anxious, when you're worried. It is a natural feeling that we as humans have in this world. See, the word here, anxious, means metanoho in Greek, which means just to have concern for something. See, the thing is like, we have concerns every single day in our life, and not all of them are bad. Like, we concern for our family. We concern for our loved ones, our friends, our family, right? Like, there is a holistic concern that we do have in our lives that is a natural response as humans. And it's not necessarily a problem. The problem becomes when we allow the concerns of our material possessions to take root and bring forth anxiety in our lives. That is what Jesus is looking at here. And the question is, and the question that Jesus starts off with, he says, is your life not more? Is your life not more than the material things that you own? Is your life not more than that car, than the shoes, than the jewelry, than your phone, than the house? Is your life not more than these things that you do or do not have? That is the question that Jesus wants us to look at. And that's where he starts his argument. If we move on in this passage, we see him give us two examples to answer this question that he gives us. First, he says, you know, look at the birds. Look at how they toil. Look at how they work. Look at everything that they do. They go home and they build their nests and they always feed. And there's so many different things that a bird does that I don't even know what a bird does. But when we look at a bird, he says, even the birds know that God is a provider. I think it's fascinating because when you look at a bird, the bird has no like mental construct like we do, right? Like there's no identity within the bird. There's no perception that the bird can see. The bird cannot understand what a relationship with Christ looks like. It cannot understand what the Bible is saying. It cannot understand the image that it is made in because it's a bird. And yet the bird knows and understands that even then, the Lord is a provider. That is the point here that Jesus is pressing on, that if a bird can understand that the Lord is a provider, why can we not? Why can we not? And it's a lot of times when we look at what it means to be a provider, like what are the characteristics that we see when it comes to being a provider, we would say somebody's reliable, that they're trustworthy, right? That their character and integrity is always intact, that they're going to go through and follow through with what they say. And the thing here is that when we see the Lord as our provider, it is a characteristic of who he is. Meaning that he's not just a trustworthy person. He's not just a person who's going to follow through to the end, but that he is more than just a provider, but he is a sustainer. He's a redeemer. He's our hope. Like he is everything encompassed in what it would look like for someone to be a provider for us in our lives. And Jesus is saying, if the birds can understand God's character, why can you not? You read the scriptures, you see what he is doing, and yet you struggle to see that he is a provider in your life, but these birds do. And it's just so fascinating. And Jesus even kind of throws this little like nugget in there in verse 27. He says, what can worry even add to your life? Like what good does worry do for us in our lives? The answer is nothing. It's the hard truth that worry can do nothing in our lives. And it's found in the opening verse of 25. And Jesus says, do not worry. See, I don't know if we see those words and we actually understand what it's saying, but this is a command by Jesus. He says, do not. It's not something that we can argue with back and forth if we can or cannot do, but he says, do not. Like, please do not. I beg you not to. Do not do this if you are a follower of me. Do not worry. And I think one of the biggest things that I learned that when I was looking over kind of all the study, all the commentaries, all the different things about this passage, and it was just so fascinating to me, and I really wrestled with it throughout the week. Like, it was something that I really struggled with, and it's the fact that worry is a sin. Worry is a sin. I don't know if you've ever heard that or thought that, but worry is a sin, and let's break that down, right? Worry is a sin. Why? Because worry gives us false perspectives on who God is and what he says he will do in our lives. If we are people who worry about the material things we have or do not have, or about what we can get or cannot get, then what we see happen in our lives is lies and thoughts saying that, are you sure God is? Right? Like, look at the beginning in Genesis. When Adam and Eve are there, the first thing that they're tempted with not is just the fruit, but he says, are you sure God said that? Right? It points all the way back to the beginning and even till now when Jesus is talking about it. Like, worry in our lives presents us with that false question, are you sure God is, or God will, or God can? It breaks down the character of God when we see worry take root in our lives. Second, if you're anything like me, who in here is a person who likes to be in control? Let me see a raise of hands. Okay. So if you are not a person who likes to be in control, pray for us, okay? Because we're learning. We're still trying to grow in this. But here's the thing about worry and anxiety. When that takes root in my life, I like to see how I can fix it. It is something that I see and I think, okay, how can I do this or do that to not have these things happen or not let this outcome happen? Or how can I fix this or how can I do that? Worry puts us in the perspective that we are the God of our own life, and it diminishes where God should be in our life. Worry is a sin. It's a hard truth. But it's something that when we look at and when we see, we are able to then recognize and grow from, right? Like, we have sins in our life that we see and we're like, okay, if this is a problem, I'm going to do this, this, and that to make sure that does not happen again. Or if this is occurring, then I need to go about this way or do that way or do that. See, there's practical steps that we take in our lives for every other sin that we see take root in our life, but when it comes to worry or anxiety, we push it to the side because we don't see it as that. But what would it look like if we saw it as that, as sin, and we put practical steps in place that when I am worried, when I am anxious, I do this? That is the perspective that I want us to grow in today. Jesus even says, you know, look at the lilies. He says, look at how the beauty and the splendor that comes from them. He says, not even Solomon. Solomon was one of the greatest kings in the Old Testament. He had the most possessions, the most money anybody's ever seen. Solomon was the greatest, and his beauty and splendor was saw and talked and heard about throughout the entire kingdoms. And yet, not even Solomon is as beauty as one of these. Right, so it makes us question then, what are you trying to say to us here, Jesus? And I think what he's trying to point out is that there's value in God's creation. See, when's the last time that when you were anxious or worried, you said, I'm valuable? Like, when does that thought come up into your mind? That when I am worried, when I'm anxious, I see the situation, but God, I'm valuable. We don't see that. And that's what Jesus is really stressing on with the examples. See, when was the last time that you looked at your thumb? Like, your thumb, right? Like look at your thumb, okay? It's odd, right? And it's weird because it's like, look at my thumb. What do you mean? But what do you see when you look at your thumb? What do you see? A fingerprint. Change your perspective. What's a fingerprint? Identity. That in each and every one of us, we have an identity built and rooted in God. See, we are created and made in the image of God. And if we are created and made in the image of God, that means that there is value attached to you and I. There's value because it's not what you did. There's value not because of what you can earn or how you grow or how you live, but there's value because of the one who created you. The creator of the heavens and the earth sees you, hears you, created you, and knows that in you there is a DNA that is representation, that is very vastly different, but also very similar to him. And that's the beauty of creation. And that's what Jesus is, when he says, look at the lilies. Please see the lilies. Right? So right here, I have, let's see, two different leaves, okay? You may be able to see them, may not, because it's kind of far away, right? But we have two little leaves here, okay? One looks like, I guess, like a normal leaf. You know, I don't know how leaves look, but they're normal leaves, right? And then this one, kind of shaped a little funnier, a little different. But when we look at the leaves, we can see the lines in them. We see the creativity in each one. We see that there is a root that is what gives them life, that is brought forth from rain and soil and so many different things that none of us can control. And yet, even this leaf knows that the Lord is a provider. And if this leaf can understand that the Lord is a provider, why can we not? This leaf, again, has no construct. It has no mental capacity. It cannot read the gospel. It does not see what Jesus is doing and what he has done for us. And yet they understand and we struggle. It's a real problem that we have. And it's what Jesus is stressing on. Worry accomplishes nothing. And when we look at the birds and we look at the lilies, we see the value in creation. We see the beauty in what God has made and what he is doing in that. And that in each and every one of us, we have an identity and we have a purpose and we are created in the image of God. And with that, he should be our provider. So Jesus looks at him and after giving his argument, he says, so why do you have so little faith? Why is this something that we struggle with so often? Why do you worry so much? Why do you have so much anxiety? Why is this something that constantly is at the forefront of your mind? It's in our perspective. See, the two examples here that Jesus uses is what's called a rabbinic debate. Okay, I'm not going to get super deep into it or what it is or the whole history of Judaism or anything like that. But what I want us to point out is within the rabbinic debate, it's followed by a major to a minor. It's a phrase. It's the way that the sentences are put together that question but answer at the same time. Okay, and it sounds like this. If God has done blank, then will God not do blank? Or, okay, if God is the creator, parentheses, who created, then will he not blank? See, in your life, how would you answer this question? I see God as blank, and I trust that he will blank. See, it's in his character and who he is that answers this question for us. And it's the perspective. And what if every time we worried, we say, God, I am worried, but I know that you will blank, that you are blank. What would that look like in our life if we did that as a practical step when anxiety and worry fills our mind? Yes. See, first perspective is that from now on, when you worry, bring that worry to God. Bring that worry to God. And hear what I'm saying. I'm not saying reject that worry. I'm saying acknowledge that. Because the concern is real, right? Like the worries and problems that we do have in our life are real problems to us. Let's not deny that. Acknowledge that. But what we do is we acknowledge it and say, God, you can have it. That we surrender the control of it, that we trust that he can do it, that we trust that he will do it. If he did it for the birds, if he does it daily for the lilies and the flowers and the grass and the trees, he can do it for me. Yeah. That is what we are looking at here. In Philippians 4:6, it says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Tell him everything. if we tell God everything, that's all our fears, that's all our worries, that's all our doubts, that's all our anxieties, that's all of our stress, that's everything that would come across our mind, we give to him. And I know that when we look at anxiety and when we talk about it, that it is something that we struggle with, that we don't just struggle with in our mind, but we feel it in our bodies, that it's more than just a thought, but it's something that truly just captivates us and shelters us in this place of, God, I just so much confusion and chaos. But I challenge you that even in that, even if there's no words to describe how you're feeling, even if you can't produce words, even if you just don't even know why, just rest in the fact that he knows, that he cares, and he loves. See, it's the intentionality and behind why you are giving it to him. You're not just giving it to him to give it to him because I said so, but you're giving it to him because we know that he will handle it. That's the beauty and the reality of God and his character, is that when we give him our worries and our fears and anxieties, it's out of our hands and he has it all taken care of. It may not look, it may not sound, it may not feel like what we are expecting, but know that on the other side of that is peace. See, on the other side of all our worries and our fears and our doubts is peace. Why? Because God is not a God of chaos. He's not a God of confusion. He's not a God of anxieties, but he's a God of peace. And in Philippians 4:7, he says, "Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus." That as we go about our daily lives, seeking to be disciples and followers of Christ, as we live in that, he guards our mind, he guards our heart, and that there's peace that comes from him that cannot be taken away. See, the difference is like peace and chaos. It's kind of like joy and happiness, right? Like if we live our lives seeking to be people who are happy, we will never be truly happy. Why? Because happiness is based off of circumstances in our lives. So if I'm saying I'm happy today, but then a bad circumstance occurs, then I'm no longer happy. What am I? But joy is something that comes from the Father, comes from him, and it's that something that sustains us even when the house falls, the flood fades, everything else comes away. I'm still rooted in joy because it's not in my circumstances, but it's in him. That is the beauty of peace, right? Like when you think about peace, what comes to your mind? See, because for me, I always see Psalm 23. It's like he lays me down in green pastures. Like he restores my soul. Like what would it look like to live a life of just restored, utter peace and union with God? Because that's the key part. It's that any other peace that's not rooted in Christ will never be truly peace. But peace that comes from union with Christ is something that cannot be taken away from us, no matter what the circumstance is. See, Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. We see the word peace being spoken more than 429 times throughout the Old and New Testament combined. And I think that if it's written in there that many times, then it's important in our lives. Yeah? See, but there are over 100 verses that are related to fear, worry, and distress. So it's not just that we are to have peace, but there's peace because there are times in our life when stress and worry come. That's the major from the minor. See, when Jesus was born, the angel said, "There is now peace on earth." Like that word peace is so important in our lives because it's not just about a situation. It's not just about what is in front of us, but it's a peace because he is that. And if I believe that he is that, then will he not provide that? That is true peace. and realize that peace is not freedom from troubles, but peace is rooted in him. Living a life that is rooted in the material things and the possessional things that we have will cause us confusion and chaos in our lives. If we base our value on the material things we own, if we base our identity in the ranking that we are in our job, or the car that we drive, or the house that we live in, or the jewelry that we own, or the shoes that we own, or the phone that I have, if we base our identity off of all of those things, we will never, ever have peace here on earth. But if we see these things as something that we have, because if we're being honest, especially in the United States, there is an abundance of material possession, right? Like even if we took all of just extra stuff that we had, there we would be able to put clothes on every person, feed every person, make sure every person has what they need. And I'm not just talking here in America, but the entire earth. Like when you think about the amount of stuff that we have, right? Like I know this is probably a hot topic, but like even look at like Christmas, right? Like for every year for Christmas, we ask for stuff. More stuff, better stuff, different stuff. Like what would it look like for Christmas if we said, I want one thing, but I'm gonna give five? And not just give five, but I'm giving five to people that I know don't have anything. Like, what would that look like in our lives? Like that, when we talk about building the kingdom of God, that's what it looks like. Being generous people, seeing our stuff, not as our own, but as things that he has given us and blessed us with. And because of that, we are people who give. That is what Jesus is speaking of when we look at this verse. That is the point that he's trying to drive, that there is value in you. That when you look at what's taking place in front of you, change your perspective to see that God's already working in it, that God is already doing it, that even if it looks like it's not going to work out, even if it looks like it's not going to happen, that even if you don't know how it's going to happen, have peace and know that he sees it and that he will do it. If I would have everybody stand in the room, and I'm just going to have the worship team come back up, I'm going to close this out here. See, I want us to do a little activity this morning. I want everybody to close their eyes. And when you close your eyes, I want you to bring to the forefront of your mind what anxiety looks like in your life, how it feels, what it sounds like, the emotions and the thoughts that go with your anxiety and stress and worries of life. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You can open your eyes. Did you hear the difference from what your mind was telling you about the anxieties and the worries and the thoughts? And then on the flip side of that, what God's word says, that he has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. That he says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. See, what would it look like in our lives if every time we worried, every time we were fearful, every time we were anxious, we gave it to Him? That's the challenge for us today and tomorrow and moving forward in every day of our lives. When circumstances and situations happen, when we are anxious and worried, we give it to Him. We give it to Him. In prayer, we give it to Him in our communities. See, what would our lives look like? They would be lives full of peace. They'd be lives full of joy. Yes, there would be trouble in our lives, but we would rest in the fact that He has everything in His hands. Father, we thank You for today. Lord, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the way that You care, not just for the birds and for all of creation, but Lord, how You care for us. Lord, that You care so gracefully. Lord, we know You see our struggles. You see our anxieties. You see our problems, our worries, our fears, our doubts. And Father, we give them to You this morning. Lord, that we trust in the fact that You are good. And Lord, that You're not a God of chaos. You're not a God of confusion, but You're a God of peace. And Father, this morning we pray for peace in our minds, for peace in our bodies. Lord, for every anxious and worried thought, Lord, we give it to You. Lord, for You take it. And Lord, have Your way with it. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the truth, Lord, even when it's hard. Lord, in that we will see worry as a sin in our lives and a sin that we will flee from. Lord, even when it's hard. Father, we give it to You and we thank You for what You're going to do with it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.